We have another apostle that we commission, and she is internationally known, and maybe one of the most well-known apostles slash prophet in the body of Christ, because she is using media. And I would probably have to say, probably of all the ministers I know, I'm talking about everyone that I know, which is limited, obviously, because, you know, I only have a certain sphere. But the one that has used the internet more effectively than anyone I know is Patricia King. And she has basically a network through the internet. And it's XP Media. You could go online and just check that out, and she could give you more information about it. But she's getting the gospel out, and she's getting teachings out, and I'm on that internet network as well. And so she is a prolific writer. She preaches at some of the largest conferences around the world. She has an incredible compassion ministry to children at risk, especially the sex trafficking that's going on in Southeast Asia. And, you know, she's part of our team as well. And I'm so delighted to, again, have her every year, but to hear from her, because I try to either have her come to our house for a prophetic conference or just to our house. I mean, she just would. I remember when one of the most profound weekend seminars she did was on prophetic evangelism in our church, and we saw immediately a fruit of people getting saved after she ministered to our people and equipped us in evangelism. Let's all stand and give Patricia King a great Harvest Apostolic Center welcome as she brings forth the word. God bless you, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, what a privilege to be in a house with so many wonderful men and women on the front lines and who are sharing God's love all over the world. I want to share a prophetic word today with you. And this is a word that I actually received on October the 29th last year. Some of you in this room, the odd one of you, and even some of you by webcast, might have actually heard this word. I want you to listen to it again. Every time I preach it, it carries a little bit of a different flavor because God prophetically infuses and injects it for the crowd that's listening. But as a prophet, when you receive the word of the Lord, there's a stewardship involved with it, that you would usually carry that word for a season until it produces a saturation of faith so that it can be made manifest within the earth. Jesus said, "When I come, will I find faith in the earth?" And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And many of you have had words that God has given you prophetically, or in your quiet time, the Lord's spoken them directly through a rhema word to your heart, or, you know, people have been preaching like last night. I don't know about you, but I got so much download from the Lord last night that I can stand on and hold and have that word change my life. It comes in all different forms, but most of you in this room have a number of words that God has specifically given you for your life in, you know, different realms of your life that are true words from Him. And I think that in an environment, in a prophetic environment where there's so much revelation being released, a lot of times we take it for granted and don't savor those words or live by those words. And as prophetic people, we need to hold on to them. And especially in the midst of battle, that we hold on to those words and we make those words work for us, because that is the word that God is giving for us to stand on and to war with. And so when you look at Romans 4, verse 20 to 21, this is speaking of Abraham. It says, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." So here's Abraham, who had come to know God at 75 years of age, followed him, went out following him, not knowing where to go. But he had been given promise by God. And when that word came, he believed it. And the significant promise that he received was that he would have descendants that would outnumber, you know, the sands of the sea. And yet, you know, as he grew in age, he didn't have one yet that was from his own loins. And so even after he and his wife couldn't bear children anymore in the natural, he didn't waver in unbelief with that promise. And many of you, especially as leaders, if God has given you a promise, stand on that promise no matter what. Because even if it looks like it's impossible for it to come to pass, everything can change in a moment of time. Your suddenly can come. And I think that it's important as apostolic people, and especially as we are establishing in the spirit and in the natural, this apostolic reformation in this hour, that we as apostolically oiled believers would take hold of that word and believe it, the word that God gives, and work it and create with that word. So I want to preface the word that I'm about to bring with that. And also, in Hebrews 4, 1 and 2, it says, therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. And so there can be a word that will go out prophetically that is from the Lord, and some will believe it and some will not. Some will cleave to that word and some will not. And the ones who will cleave to that word will see the manifestation of that word. Now that promise remains for everyone, whether they believe it or not. The promise is good. It remains for everyone. But only those who receive it by faith or appropriate it by faith will see the manifestation of that. So steward your prophetic words well. With this specific word I'm going to give you today, I actually had it delivered to me by an angelic visitation on October the 29th, just last year. We were in the middle of hosting 10 days and nights of tent meetings, evangelism revival tent meetings, which were a blast. They were so much fun. And we saw, you know, people from all over the world came in for those meetings. And we had, you know, people were saved, people were healed, people were delivered. You know, they were out on the grass getting blasted by God, even outside the tent. And we had signs and wonders, especially on the last night. We had a significant sign and wonder. And it was awesome. And I was hosting guests from different parts of the world within my home. And so one morning on October 29th, I was serving breakfast to my guests. So I wasn't in a worship service. I wasn't even thinking about prayer or reading the Bible or anything like that. And as I was preparing breakfast, I sensed the presence of an angel. I did not see with open vision or anything this angel, but I sensed its presence come in so strong. And all of a sudden, it was like this word was downloaded into me. It was like a scroll unfolding. It came very strong into my spirit. That angel delivered three words at that breakfast counter that morning. And then later on, when I went to the tent meeting, I was in worship, and the Lord gave me another one that seemed to seal up the three words that I'd received in the kitchen. The Lord told me, after these words were delivered, he said, if you will steward this word and give it to my people, anyone who believes this word as their own prophetic word from me, as their own word from me, if they get quickened in faith as this word being from me, this word will manifest for them. And I want them to live in this word. So I'm going to deliver to you the word of God. If you witness with this word for yourself, you know, just think of Jesus himself speaking it to you, weigh it up, you know, make sure that you witness with it. If it witnesses for you, it is your personal word. And I'm telling you, this word will transform your life. This word will change your life. I meditate on this word almost every day, but at least with my whole team even, at least once a week, I review this word. Because I want the benefit of this word. I do not want to just let this word be forgotten. In the Old Testament, they said, you know, remind even your children, repeat the word, tell them what I've spoken to you, you know, throughout the day. Make sure, you know, that you meditate on the words day and night, because you will succeed and you will prosper. So we can't take words from the Lord lightly. So it is with pleasure that I deliver this prophetic word. How many of you would like to receive the three words that the angel gave? Would you like to hear what they were? Anyone not want to hear? Okay. Well, the first word that came was to smile at your future. Smile at your future, because your future is good. Now, it's interesting that at that particular time, and even now, if you were to look at the headlines in any, you know, newspaper, or just go on the internet and find out what's happening in the world, everything that can be shaken is being shaken in that world system. There are wars and rumors of wars. The Middle East is in tumult. The Ukraine and Russia and North Korea. And I mean, we could go on and on and on. Economic systems are shaking. People are running in fear. Even in the church, you will find people living in fear. And yet the word of the Lord was, smile. Smile. Smile at your future. It's a good day to be alive if you're a Christian. If you know Jesus Christ, it is the best day. And so as I was unpacking this word with the Lord, later on over the coming weeks and months, I was just meditating on this word, and he was giving me all kinds of insight, but primarily about the kingdom of God. I love Peter Wagner's teaching this morning about the difference between the local church and the apostolic centers. And, I just love the way he teaches anyways. It's always so clear and always so easy to understand. But one of the emphasis of the apostolic center is a kingdom mindset. It's a kingdom mindset. It's a bigger mindset. You see, you are not an earthly being attempting to get into heaven. You are actually a heavenly being living in the earth. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, eternal life entered into you. You are an eternal being. It says in the scripture that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. You are already in Christ. You don't have to wait till you die in the earthly realm in order to experience kingdom life. You are now a kingdom ambassador in the earth. You are a kingdom apostolic representative of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And our government is great. Our economy is great in the kingdom. Amen? Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. It is rock solid. Amen? So as believers, if we will walk in the truth of who God is and who we are in him, and it's going to unfold more and more over these coming years, that we will bring light into the darkness, we will see nations transformed, and this is the greatest, greatest hour to be alive ever. It says in Proverbs 31, verse 25, that the virtuous woman, and one application could be the virtuous woman being the church. And in that application, if we are the church, it says in verse 25 that she smiles at her future. Now, the reason you can smile at your future is because Jesus is in it. He's in it. If Jesus is in me today, and let's think of who Jesus is. He is our Savior. We're saved from sin, from bondage, from darkness, from evil, from all that stuff. And he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the brilliant I am. He is all those things. He is the Almighty God. He has all power, all might, all wisdom. And he lives inside of you and I. Amen? That means life in him is good. How can it not be good if he is the one who owns your life? If he is the one who is your life? How could life not be good? So if he is in you today, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world tomorrow, when you step into your tomorrow, Jesus is in your future. And if Jesus is in your future, you can smile at it. And God is bringing us to a place where we will be so filled with his love, so filled with his goodness, so filled with knowing that he's everything that we need, that we'll truly be able to see in any circumstance, God plus nothing equals everything that I need. And when you get to that place, all fear goes. You know, you've all had your trials in life. I mean, you can't get through life in planet Earth without having a few trials. We've all had them, and if you are having one now, I've lived for 63 years so far in life, and I've noticed one thing, is that there is a beginning to a trial and there's an end. And so you might as well be happy in the process I've tried being miserable in the process, and it doesn't change anything, except sometimes extends the timing of it, okay? But when you're happy and say, well, you know, it's a trial, I'm going to take the joy of the Lord, I'm going to walk through it, and this is a word for some of you right now, because it's going to turn out good. Why is it going to turn out good? Because God is in your future. How can it not be good? I mean, He's on your side. If God is for you, who can be against you? Now, a lot of Christians especially are afraid of the economy, and you know, I've heard all kinds of different, even prophetic voices, and I'm not saying that they're false by any means. I think sometimes we have a piece of something and someone else has a piece, and that's why we really need each other, but sometimes our pieces really need to be balanced. And but I can't really resonate all the time with a whole bunch of negative words. Like, I mean, if you tell me there's darkness in the earth, that's enough. That's all I need to know, right? But if you start exalting the darkness, you will empower the darkness. If you are focused on darkness, if you're focused on trouble, if you're focused on the problems, you're just going to empower the problems, right? So I don't think in most cases you even need to be prophetic to declare that times are hard. And that even worse times are coming, you know. I don't think you need to be prophetic. It's just the way it is. But to be prophetic is to carry the testimony of Jesus Christ, where we can say, what is the church going to do in the midst of these troubled times? Now, the Lord spoke to me and He said, Patricia, I was exactly the same in the 1930s as I was in the 1920s. I didn't change. I am forever the same. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the 1920s were actually economically prosperous. There was a lot of freedom, a lot of partying, a lot of, you know, prosperity. People were enjoying life. And then overnight, in the world system, say in the world, there was what is called a crash. Okay? And we know it today as the Great Depression. Some have called the decade of the 30s, the dirty 30s. That's the label they have on it. And overnight, there was people that lost everything as far as worldly possessions, their investments and things like that. There was a lot of suicides because of it. And I tell you, if you have a love for money, you know, I love what Bill Johnson said last night. He said, love influence. Don't love, you know, money or things that will feed the flesh. Love being an influencer. But I mean, if you have a love for money and it goes, you're going to be in trouble, right? Your love goes down the tube with the loss of money. But if your love is for Jesus and the influence you can be, if there is a loss of money in the world, in that system, it is your finest hour. And do you know that in the Depression, there were more millionaires made. You don't hear about that often, but there was millionaires made in the Depression because there wasn't any less money in the 30s as there was in the 20s. It was just distributed differently. Are you ready to receive a distribution that's coming, a provision that is going to, that is, you know, that is going to be supernatural, but it's also going to be an amazing testimony to the power and the glory of God in these coming days. Now, I want to give a testimony. I'll just use one example, and that's of Amy Semple McPherson, because she had a ministry in this area, Angelus Temple, not too far from here, about 15 minutes drive from here, and she built Angelus Temple in the 1920s. When she started building, she actually got the design direct from the Lord. And by the way, I feel that there's many of you who are going to get downloads from the Lord, architectural designs and templates for business, for solutions that are going to be life-changing and world-changing. So get ready. I just prophesy that forth. But she received a download from the Lord for the pattern of that building, the architectural design. When she took it to her architect, the architect says, it can't be done. She says, look, if God gave it, it can be done. Just go build it. And from what I understand, and Robert Slurden can probably confirm this, but as far as I understand, I think she only had about $20 to her name at the time. But she had $20 plus God. And God plus nothing equals everything that you need. And some of you might look at what you have in your hand right now and say, it's not enough for the vision. But when you have God, it's more than enough. And there's some things that are going to happen that are just going to escalate you all to new levels, because you can smile at your future. And so she built Angelus Temple. I believe that by the time it was finished, it was completely paid for. But if any of you know about maintenance of a building, even if it's paid for, even if the building is paid for, right? It costs money to maintain. So she hits the 30s. Now, many ministers in the 30s had a poverty mentality. They thought, oh no, there's a crash. Everyone lost their jobs. They can't give to the church anymore. They can't give to me anymore. But Amy Semple McPherson was an apostolic woman. Angelus Temple was actually, before its time, was an apostolic center. And she had faith to do the will of God because she knew that God plus nothing was everything that she needed. She had seen the miracles of God over her life. Her children had seen the miracles, and she knew that her God would come through for her. So she wasn't looking at the lack in the world. She was looking at the abundance in the kingdom. And she, in Angelus Temple in the 30s, and at that time, it sat 5,800 people. 5,800 people in that building. They've done some remodeling, and it only fits about 2,500 now. But at the in her day, it fit 5,800 people, and I believe that she hosted up to 5 services on a Sunday and filled the place every time. This is in the Depression. Her ministry escalated in the 30s. It increased. It was like a leaven that just leavened a glorious lump. And more people were saved through her ministry in the 30s than ever before. In fact, in the 30s, Angelus Temple, under the apostolic direction of Amy Semple McPherson, launched a feeding program that fed more people than the government. So they fed more than the government programs, and that should be the testimony of the church. Come to church and get everything you need, you know? And so she would do these feeding programs. They fed more. And then moving through the 30s that were prosperous years in the anointing and in the provision of God in Angelus Temple in the 30s, moving into the 40s, it was wartime. So in the world, things are still being shaken. It was difficult times in the world. Wars cost money. The government was issuing war bonds. Amy Semple McPherson, Angelus Temple, raised more money in war bonds, and this is a historically proclaimed thing, raised more money in war bonds than all of Hollywood put together. Because she was a woman that smiled at her future. An apostolic woman who smiled at her future. If you will think kingdom, if you will look at Jesus in the face of whatever you might be facing now or in your tomorrows or what the world, what's going to happen to the world. You know, people have been prophesying. They're saying, oh, you know, the world's going to crash. The economy's going to crash. It's going to crash. It's going to crash. I say, yippee, you know, because in the word it says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But we are of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So while we are flourishing, and if you expect to flourish, you will. Your expectation is extremely important. What you expect, you'll get, you know. And if you expect the Word of God to manifest in your life and you just, you know, push all the other junk and lies of the devil away and you say, no, I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm like my father Abraham. You know, I'm standing on that promise he gave me and he will make it good. That it'll just make your life happy and prosperous. Amen. So we just can't be concerned about in fear. We can't be fearful about what's happening in the world. But apostolically, we should be strategizing. And that should make us happy. Because we're going to build a net that is so big in this hour that when everyone's feeling hopeless and helpless and wanting to jump off their buildings, our net's going to catch them. And we're going to bring them in and say, the same God that has cared for us, the same God who is more than enough for everything that you need, he will meet your needs too. Come on in. Come on into this glorious kingdom. And it will be a massive opportunity to bring a global harvest in. And so we should be dreaming and strategizing. And I love what I've heard already in the conference and, you know, the market Place Ministry that's developing and the different templates that are being developed for it. And, you know, I had a meeting with Sam Kasser earlier that was so good. And we're just talking about how can we move forward in escalation of, you know, all the expressions of all the different mountains in new ways. And manifest more purity of motive, more kingdom mindset than ever before. And what an exciting time, exciting opportunity to be able to build for Jesus at such a time as this. Are you smiling at your future? You know, some of you have been distressed because of family issues. You said, yeah, you know, the Lord, when I was a new Christian, He gave me promises for my sons and my daughters, but now they're on drugs, they're in prison, they're not serving God, they're in the world, you know. And if you focus on what's happening in the natural, you know, you're going to lose your perspective of that promise. Is God bigger than their rebellion? Is God bigger than their unbelief? Is God bigger than their vices? Yes, He's bigger than it all. And you know, if you will stand on the Word, He will stand for you and for your children, and they will create, they're just out creating a testimony right now. Amen? And you know, the longer they stay out there, maybe the bigger the testimony, as long as they've got someone standing in the gap for them, decreeing the promises that God has given you. So you don't have to say, oh no, I just feel so bad. But my children, start smiling at your future. Start seeing them, you know, according to the promise that God has given you. See your children who maybe they're in prison or drug addicts. Start seeing them serving Jesus with all their heart. Get a hold of that. Are you smiling at the future for your families, for your workplace, your businesses, your ministry areas? It is time to smile at your future. You see, you live in two realms. You actually live in two realms at the same time. You're bilocated. Jesus lived in the earth, but He also only did the things that He saw His Father do in heaven, right? He said to Nicodemus, no one has ascended into heaven except Him who descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Even though He's talking to Nicodemus in the earthly realm, He's saying, but I'm in the heavenly realm. So you have access to these two realms. But the kingdom realm, the invisible eternal kingdom realm, is actually more real and more lasting, more solid, more truthful than the natural realm. So if you choose to live as a kingdom person and discover who you are in this world as a representative for Jesus through your faith, oh my, you haven't seen anything yet. Amen? So say, I'm smiling at my future. Okay, the next word that the angel brought was, you will have 7 years of great abundance. So he said to me in the kitchen that morning, he said, you will have 7 years of great abundance. Now, we had just read some headlines the day before, and there was all this shaking going on economically. It wasn't looking good. And yet now God's saying, you're going to have 7 years of great abundance. A word from God. Now, if God says you're going to have 7 years of great abundance, but the world says the mark of the beast is coming and you're not going to be able to buy or sell or whatever, which are you going to believe? Lack from the mark of the beast or abundance from God? What are you going to believe? You believe the report of the Lord. You believe the word of the Lord, because God will always defy the works of darkness. He is always greater. Amen. A lot of times when I say that, there's a reaction. I can feel it in the spirit saying, 7 years of great abundance. That means 7 years of lack are going to come after that. How many of you thought that? He never said 7 years of lack were coming. I think He just gave 7 years because He knew I could handle it in faith. See, if He said, I'm going to give you 100 years of great abundance, you know, you might not really go after it, but if you know He's giving me 7 years, I'm making the most of it right now, man. I'm just laying hold of that word. I'm believing for abundance of anointing, of increase, of rescued children. I'm believing for abundance of opportunities to preach the gospel like never before. I'm believing for abundance of strength. I'm just believing for abundance of everything, because Jesus said I could have abundance for 7 years. And when He says it, He will make it good. Don't let the enemy who's lying out there, people are buying into his lies, saying, oh, it's going to be so bad and all the Christians are going to go down the tube and, you know, it's going to be so hard. Don't buy into the lies. Don't align yourself with the negative things that are out there. If we were, you know, we have to bring good news to the world. He said, go preach the good news. He didn't say, go preach bad news. He said, preach the good news. In the midst of the darkness, let's bring the light. You know, of course there's tragedy out there, and of course we all face different things. Those are just facts, okay? But God says, I'm giving you abundance. In the midst of all this shaking, be sure that you are going to have abundance. So I'm just standing on the word. We've got our whole team standing on the word. Since this word was given on October 29th, I can't begin to tell you what's happened in our lives and ministry since this time. The amount of abundance and escalation that has come just since this time, in every area of our life. I'm not exaggerating. And if you believe it, you'll have it too. And don't just listen to it today and say, well, that was a nice sermon. You got to take this word and live on it. This is as if the angel came to you. If an angel came to you, you would treat that word and steward it well, right? So I want you to steward it well, because I want you to have the blessing of it. And I tell you, the blessings that have come have been phenomenal, and it's for us all. The third word that the angel gave was, you are blessed and your seed will greatly multiply. He said, your seed will greatly multiply. And immediately, now, the Holy Spirit might speak to you differently about your seed, okay? I believe that the seed can represent many things. And as the Holy Spirit's delivering this word to you, he might be speaking specific things to you that become your specific promise. But to me, the first thing that came to me when this word came was Mark chapter 4 that says the sower sows the word. And it speaks of the word being seed. And I felt the Spirit speak to me saying, this season is going to be the most fertile season for proclaiming the word. I'm going to greatly multiply the word that you sow. You will see more results from the word that you sow in this season than you've ever seen before, because I'm going to bless and multiply that seed. And he started showing me opportunities that the body can take, especially through social media. I hope you all use Facebook. Be on it every day. You can preach the gospel every single day. You know, I post on Facebook every single day. Patricia King page, you can go on my public page. Every single day, I post on Facebook. I preach the word of God on Facebook. Every single day, I feed nations every single day. There's been a few times where I've had over 250,000 people have been reached through one post, okay? That's just one. And then, you know, other times maybe 20,000 or 50,000 at a time. You do a few of those in a day and you reach a lot of people with the word of God. Amen? This is an amazing day that we are living in, and we need to utilize what God has given us. Media. Media is amazing. Everywhere we go in the nations, we meet people that I never met personally until that time. They'll come up and say, Patricia, we see you on the internet. We see you on the television. It's because of the power of media today to get the word out. It is awesome what we can do to get the word out. But he says, in this season, I'm going to multiply the effectiveness of the word of God. And so have fun delivering his word. Enjoy the delivery of his word. I believe the blessing of the Lord is going to be on the seed of the word of God in such a way that there's going to be more authority on it than ever before. Maybe before, in a prophetic season, it would take years to saturate with a certain message. But in this season, it'll saturate like in a week. You know, we can see that kind of blessing from the Lord. The whole word on the emergence of these apostolic centers. You know, maybe before it would have taken a decade or so to get that established. It's going to start going like boom, 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 boom. Why? Because there's blessing on that word. He's multiplying the seed. And not only that, is once you speak that word, there'll be others that carry it further. It's just going to go. It's going to fill the earth. We can fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, because in this season, he is blessing and multiplying the seed of the word. But the next thing that came to my mind was actually financial seed, specifically. It could be the seed of your gifting. It could be, you know, the seed of anything. But these are the two things that he spoke to me, the word, and the next thing was the finances. Now, I love giving. I am a giving gift. I live to give. I love giving. And, so every day I'm looking for opportunities to give. But when I received this word, it was like, whoa, you're going to greatly multiply my seed. in this hour? Oh, that's huge. It's nice having seed multiplied, but greatly multiplied seed, it's good. So I got excited because when a word comes to you, you need to act on it. You know, you need to believe it and act on it. Faith without works is dead. And so I started thinking, yeah, okay, God, this is going to be, you know, if it's an increased season on seed, it means an increased season of giving. And so I got excited about that. But I want to encourage you to give with intentionality in this next season, whether it's your gifting, whether it's the word of God, whether it's, you know, service to, you know, your church leaders or to your family members, but do it with intentionality. There's something about the power of intentionality that brings results. We have, one of the visions that we work with is over in Thailand and Cambodia, working with rescuing children out of the sex trade and bringing awareness for that and working on seeing a nation transformed and rebuilt. And so we are just privileged to be able to serve in that way. So you can treat that vision like a seed. We are sowing every day with our service, with our love, with our prayers, with everything. We're sowing into the seed of that vision. And God says, I'm going to greatly multiply your seed. What is that going to look like in this season as that greatly multiplies? What is it going to look like for your churches or your businesses or your visions that you are carrying? If you see your vision as a seed and know that God in this season is going to greatly multiply that seed, you are positioned for a great blessing in this hour. Remember, the Lord's word stands even when the world shakes. When circumstances come against you that look adverse, the word stands. In our family, we have a challenge, you know, in the kingdom realm, you know, we live by truth because truth is of the eternal realm. The facts are of the temporal realm, facts. Facts are subject to change, but eternal word is eternal word. It's unchangeable. It's the same. You know, it just stays on forever. If God speaks it, it's an eternal word. It doesn't shift. And so in our lives, we're facing a challenge. My husband has a health challenge. And every day we have to deal with the fact, okay? There's facts that we have to deal with. There's facts that we have to look after. You never have to deny a fact, but just know that it's only a fact. Okay, and you deal with it on a fact level. But where we live is in the truth. Because the seed of the word says that by the stripes of Jesus, he is healed. By the seed of the word, God says that he'll give us grace for everything that we need. By the seed of the word that we can stand on, God plus nothing equals everything we need to live well in the challenge that we are facing. Amen? You might have your struggles. You might have your facts that you have to deal with. But it's the seed of the word of God that he gives you that is going to stand in the midst of everything else. And he's going to greatly multiply that seed of the word, the seed of the faith that you're standing on. And so we're smiling at our future because we know that God is good. God is good. He's enough for every day. He's enough for every challenge. He's enough for every hard moment. He's enough for everything that hurts you in the situation that when you have to deal with certain facts. He's enough for everything. So you can smile at the future. You know that you have 7 years of great abundance of his love. You know that you have, you know, greatly multiplied seed of promise. And when you lay hold of these words, it doesn't matter what you're facing or what you're needing. These words from God will make manifest and give you a realm to live in that is absolutely glorious. So those were the three words that the angel gave me in the kitchen that day. And I was blasted. I was so blessed by those words. And, you know, we had to go off to the meeting. We went off to the tent meeting, so I'm in the car, and I'm just singing praises to God. I mean, when you get, you know, a word like that given to you, it's just, you know, you just want to savor it, so we're savoring it. My house guests were in the car with me, and we're just, you know, enjoying this word. So I get to the tent meeting, and at the tent meeting, we started worship. And as we were worshiping the Lord, the Spirit of God gave me another word. I was in the midst of worship, and he gave me a word that kind of tied together all the other words. And it's out of Genesis 26, 12 to 13. A number of you are going to identify with this word. But he says, now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. And again, the Lord was highlighting this season in life where we could live as kingdom people in this realm of great blessing. And, you know, Isaac, it says that Isaac, he sowed in that land. And, it really wasn't an opportune, deal, like it was, it had been hard. There had been some drought that, it was not the best soil. And yet he sowed because he was in covenant relationship with God, and he knew the promise of God to his father Abraham that he would be blessed. And so with confidence, he sowed seed in the midst of a difficult time. He sowed seed in a land that wasn't perfect. He sowed seed because he knew that this covenant-keeping God would do something in the natural, an invasion out of the spirit into the natural that would bless him. He knew that. Do you know that? Do you know that your God is a covenant-keeping God, that you are destined for blessing, not just for a moment here or there? This is for your entire life. You are blessed. Blessings come upon you and overtake you. You can expect blessings. You are a blessing magnet. I'm so blessed. I can't help it. I can't help it. It's just because God is so good. God is so good. And when you have that expectation for only blessing, when you believe only for the goodness of God, even your trials turn into a blessing. When I get a situation that comes into my life that doesn't look like a blessing, I speak to it. I say, you're going to be sorry you ever tried, because you're going to be my next testimony. Because I have been promised by God to be blessed. Amen? So therefore, if this doesn't look like a blessing, you will eventually become one. You're going to turn around and you'll be my greatest testimony. I always tell the devil, you'll be sorry you ever tried. You just get out of here, And so God wants you to have that confidence. That's what Isaac had. He had confidence that his God would bless him. He just would keep moving forward until the blessing manifests. So it says that he sowed in that land and he reaped. Now I want to say this, is it's really important as apostolically oiled people to sow with intentionality. I'm sowing the word into your heart right now with intentionality, because I know that we're going to reap for the glory of God on this word that's sown. I know it. I know that your lives are going to produce testimonies for God. I know. I'm sowing intentionally. When I got this word from God and he said, go and take it to the body, it's theirs if they want it, I thought, I'm going to do it. So with intentionality, I'm sowing that word. But I'm not just throwing it out there thinking, well, I hope I can preach good today. I'm sowing with intention. So anything that you do with intention. If you are out on the streets sowing the gospel, we have a team that's so radically out there on the streets right now, and they go with intentionality. They go and pray, and they're praying with intentionality. They're sowing prayers into the heavens, and then they go out on the streets believing that they are going to have impact, and they sow the word. And they sow prayer and they sow ministry out to the people, believing that they're going to have a harvest of what they've sown. They just don't go on there and say, oh, well, we'll throw a few testimonies around, pray for a few people, and then go have coffee. They are expecting results. Amen? And so sow with intentionality. So Isaac sowed, and it says, and he reaped. So we sow with intentionality, but God wants you to reap with intentionality as well. Amen. Many of you are great at sowing, but some of you need to put your sickle in right now and reap. And the Lord, by the way, told me this is a season of harvest, not only of souls, but it's a season of harvest for financial harvest is coming in. So go out and get it, because many of you have sowed, and your field is full. Go and reap. Intentionally reap the return on that. If you sow a bean seed, you're going to get a whole bunch of beans. Go out and get them. You know, you wouldn't think a farmer would be very wise if he planted a whole crop and said, oh, I just love throwing the seed out there. You know, I'm really into sowing, but I'm not really into reaping. You would think he was, had the spirit of stupid on him for sure, right? And he would not remain a farmer for long. He would go broke in the first season. Amen. It's supposed to always increase. That's the picture. If you believe that, it's going to manifest within this season. But it says he reaped in that year 100-fold. Now I did some study on the 100-fold, and some commentaries that said it means 100 times what you sow. So if you take one seed and you times it by 100, that would be 100 seeds, okay? But other commentaries say, oh no, it is folded over. So it's like one times, you know, one folded over is two, folded over is four, folded over is eight, folded over is 16, you know. So you do that 100 times and that's a lot. Now, either way, I don't really care which one it is. It's really good, all of it, you know. Like 100 times, 100-fold, it's all really, really good. Let's just take it all, okay? But lowest common denominator, 100-fold in this particular scripture. So he did that. He reaped 100-fold. That's good. But it says, and the Lord blessed him. In addition to that, the Lord blessed him. Have you noticed that when you sow in one area of life, other areas get blessed? I can measure it in my life. I can actually measure it. In fact, I love doing this, is that you intentionally sow and then watch what God does with it, and you'll find other areas of blessing open up that you never specifically sowed into. It's just that other parts of your life get blessed. A generous soul is prospered, is blessed, and is favored. It's just the way it goes. The more you sow, the more blessed you are. It's awesome. I love being blessed. How many of you would rather be blessed than cursed? Okay, and though, that wasn't enough. Not only did he reap the 100-fold and he got blessed, it says, and he became rich. Now, when you're rich, you have like no needs. You don't have any needs. How many of you would like to have no needs? If you get to a point where you have no needs, create some. Okay? Create some, because God said he'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. Okay, so create the need for looking after one more orphanage, or, you know, whatever you want to do, but create another need because God will meet it. But when you are rich, you don't have any needs. You are well looked after. You're at peace. You have more than enough for yourself, right? But it says, not only was he reaping 100-fold, he got blessed and he became rich. And it says, and he became richer. He continued to grow rich. There's different levels of rich. If you're already rich and you know it, go for the next level. Because Isaac went into the next level until he became extremely wealthy. Now, when you're a wealthy person, you actually influence the world around you. You see, I could bless all of you right now. I could write you a check for $100,000, let's say. Okay, if you cashed it, it might not work, but I could write a check for 100. I'm able to write a check, okay? But, okay, so I could write you all a check for $100,000, and you would say, I am blessed, right? What a blessing. I just received $100,000. You could say I'm blessed. You can't say I'm rich. Because rich is a realm. When you're rich, you live in a realm of abundance. When my husband and I came into being rich, it was different than the times when we weren't rich, just being blessed. Once you walk in rich, it's just a realm where you know you have everything that you need. I hear people sometimes, they'll come to me and they say, oh, Patricia, you should do this deal or that deal, because if you do, you won't have to worry about finance anymore. And I thought, I'm not worried about finance. I have everything I need. Like, I am so blessed, I can hardly stand it, because everything that I need, God meets. I live in a state of being rich. And I'm not talking about, you know, don't measure it by how much money is in the bank account. Measure it by the state of the heart that you carry in the Lord. But I, honestly, my husband and I have no debt. Our ministry doesn't have any debt. We are really blessed, and we know that if there's anything God wants us to do and we say yes to, the provision is there. That's a state of being rich, okay? But wealth is better because wealth isn't about just you living in a good state. Wealth is when you influence your world. I'm extremely wealthy. And it's not because, again, I don't want you to measure this by money, because money is just an earthly currency. You will not find money in heaven. You will not. It's just an earthly currency. But measure your wealth by your influence. Measure your wealth by your influence. And I am extremely wealthy, but I want to get wealthier because I have influence for the glory of God within my life. The richness of the anointing, of the gifts that he's given, you know, of all those, they're just little things. You know, he gave me a few little things and I started investing them and sowing them into people's lives, into missions field, whatever, my time, my efforts, my energy, and it produced influence. And I can measure that influence. There are people all over the world who are blessed. There are people right now in the different nations that are hearing the gospel because of media, and I'm not even, I mean, I'm here with you, okay? And that's wealth, when you can influence the world around you, and all of you are called to extreme wealth, because we're going to change the whole world. We're not just looking at changing a few little lives. We're looking at literally changing the whole wide world, and we get to do it together, and that's one thing I love about HIM, is that we're all of like spirit. We're all after the same thing. We're just radical, passionate lovers of Jesus who want to see nations and peoples transformed and annihilate systemic poverty, look after the poor. And we can do it through business or government or family, mountain, education, mountain, media, arts and entertainment. Let's just take it all. Let's just go and invade it all. Why? Because we can. We can. Amen? Say, I can. You can. It's awesome. So anyways, those were the words that came to me that day. Now, I went and felt led of the Lord. I was so excited when he came to me with the scripture about Isaac and it sealed up all the others. I'm just now, I was buzzed in that meeting. I said, oh, Lord, I can hardly wait. Now, at that time, our ministry had a project that we had been believing for. And to close the project, we needed $100,000, but it had been stalled. It was stalled. And so, we knew it was coming, but it was stalled, you know? And so I thought, oh, okay, hundredfold return. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sow $1,000 in this morning's offering. I'm gonna sow it. So I got my checkbook out and I had happy hands, you know? I was like, oh, I gotta write this check for $1,000. So I wrote the check for $1,000 and I ran up to the front and put it in the bucket. And I just felt this amazing release. I thought, Lord, that equals 100 times that 1,000 is going to give the 100,000 we need to finish this project. Well, the outcome of that was that the money actually came in within days, but it didn't get ratified for, I think it was maybe 3 weeks, okay? It was ratified within 3 weeks, but all the money came in. The actual money, you know, came in within a couple of days after that, but it wasn't all in the bank until about 3 weeks later. So praise the Lord. So that one was good. And the other thing that happened that I wasn't even putting my faith out for, remember you get blessed in other ways too, was that my husband and I had made an investment and we were waiting for this investment money to be released to us. And it had been stalled for a couple of months actually. And as soon as that offering went out, before the year end, before it all came in, the whole $200,000 came in, it was loosed in the heavens and it was hinged on that offering. The Lord's word says that that's what he'll do and he does it. Amen. But not only that, it's like we entered this portal of blessing where it was like almost like every single day after that in our personal lives and in our ministry, it was surprise, surprise. And it's released us into a whole new realm right now that we are walking in. This whole year has been shockingly exciting. You know, it's just been like, God, how good can you get? Amen. So what I want to pray for you is that these words become your words and that they manifest within your life and that an expectation will well up in you right now. An expectation will well up in you right now that you know that you know that you know the launch into this new level of grace, of blessing, where you can smile at your future, where shifts are going to come, where things that troubled you in the past are just, you know, you're going to laugh at them and just stand on that word that God has given you today and say, I heard the word of the Lord today. I heard the word of the Lord and I'm walking in. How many of you believe that you've heard the word of the Lord today? If you believe that you've heard the word of the Lord today, stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Now, just prophetically reach out, take that word and hold it right into your heart. It's almost like pushing it right inside your body, okay? Say, this is my word. I'm going to live in it. What are the words? You're smiling at your future. You have 7 years of great abundance. Your seed is greatly multiplied. And whatever you sow, have expectation for a 100-fold return in a year, and that you will be blessed, that you'll become rich and continue to become richer until you have extreme wealth, changing the world around you. Give the Lord a big praise right now. He is so awesome. And I decree and declare the power and the glory of this word over you and decree that it will not return void, but it will accomplish everything that has been sent to do. Now you can be seated just for a moment. We're going to dismiss you and we're going to do a book signing and then have a dinner break. I just want to give you the opportunity, and I think we'll just do it this way, is if we could have some buckets up on the platform here and just put the envelopes beside the buckets. This is not like, you know, don't feel any pressure at all. I did not preach this word to receive an offering. But what's been happening is when people have responded to this through an offering, it seems to be shifting things within their lives and they're feeling within themselves, I've got to act on this. And I know what that's like because that's what I did that day. And so I just want to give you opportunity again, no pressure at all. Please don't feel like you have to give. But if you want to, before you're dismissed for dinner, if you want to respond to this word through releasing a seed, this is the best time to do it. When you've got faith in the word and you sow right into the word that has been preached, the word saturates the offering. It's just like, I've just known that in my experience to do that. So I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. The other thing is like, do it with intentionality. Like you can sow with purpose, you know, like a farmer, if he sows a bean seed, he's expecting beans. Sow into your family, sow into your business, sow into your church growth, you know, make it a meaningful offering saying, Lord, I'm just going to sow this with an intention that as I sow, I'm believing. I believed for a ministry project to be met. And it was, you know, and more. But, you know, maybe you have something that you're believing for. Maybe it's debt cancellation. You know, people have believed for debt cancellation and put a seed in the offering, attaching their faith to the dissolving of that debt. And there's been miracles as a result. Okay, so I just want to give you the opportunity and just feel free to come up as you go. And we've got the envelopes up here if you want to use the envelopes. Or we've got, you know, ushers going around right now with the envelopes too, so you can put up your hand. And I'm just going to pray a blessing over anyone that's giving the offering right now, anyone that feels led to prepare an offering. And Father, I know that for some of them, this offering is critical for their breakthrough. And I'm believing, Lord, that this offering is going to release the miracles that they are believing for. I pray, Lord, that if they're believing for their family or their businesses or their ministry projects, whatever it is, Lord God, that there is going to be a breaker anointing on this offering, that before the year is out, that they will receive the 100-fold return, that they will be blessed, that they would become rich and richer until they're extremely wealthy, influencing all the nations in Jesus' name. And by the way, when I asked permission from Che earlier, if it was okay to receive, you know, or to make it possible for you, he said, absolutely, and 100% of it will go to missions outreach to the nations. And so this whole seed that's being sown here is going to advance the kingdom of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord a big praise. Yeah.